Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hi, John Schwab here from Curtain Call, and welcome to episode 126 of the Curtain Call Theater Podcast, the podcast that brings you backstage as close as you possibly can be, often while the shows are actually happening, to meet the people that make that theater happen. Just a quick reminder that you can download and subscribe to the podcast from the Apple Podcast app or from iTunes. That way your feed will be automatically updated when we release episodes, but you can also listen to us on many other streaming services such as Stitcher and Google Play. Please rate and review our podcast if you have a spare 30 seconds and help us reach more theater lovers out there around the globe. And now for this week's podcast. There are certain times that I really love doing this podcast, and none more than when I discover a new theater initiative that I was completely unaware of, or a new theater space. But you put the two together, and I am pretty much giddy with excitement. And that is exactly what happened when I came across Intermission Youth Theater, based at St. Saviour's Church in the heart of Knightsbridge, London. That was established by Bishop Rob and Janine Gillian as a safe, reflective, and creative space for the arts. Now, in 2008, Bishop Rob asked Darren Raymond to become artistic director. And it couldn't have come at a better time for the actor, as Darren had just recently finished a run of Othello. And he took charge with just four young people in this group. And since that day, more than 116 to 25-year-olds have passed through St. Saviour's and have been introduced to the genius of Shakespeare, discovering that it is just as accessible today as it was 400 years ago if you open up your mind to it. Now, I sat down and talked with Darren about Intermission's latest production, which is Othello Remixed, as well as their mission, vision, and plans for the future. Have a listen. We're sitting, this is your theater. Like, this is Intermission. Like, it's an old church. I'm sitting in an incredible space I've never been to, which I absolutely love doing in London, man, coming and finding a new place. Yeah. So, before we get into what you guys are doing in June, July, can you tell me, a little bit about yourself and what it is that you're doing here and how this was built and how this church has come to be Intermission? I know it's a long question, like, but whatever.
I'll try and give it to you in a snapshot. But it's an incredible space. So basically, about 14 years ago, director at the time, a guy called Rob Gillian, was an actor for 15 years before he became a priest. Mm. And when he became ordained, he spent his first 10 years in Shea Pick Prison working with the marginalised. So the Bishop of Kensington in, I think, 2000, it was, headhunted him to come to St. Saviour's Church, where we are now, and to breathe life back into the parish, because it was, the congregation was dwindling. And so he said, all right, cool, I want to combine my three passions, which was the church, work with the marginalised, and theatre. And so he created Intermission, and it was just a place to bring artists that can come and, you know, just come and be and work on their craft and then go back out into the world, you know. He referenced it to like a sanctuary for wild birds, you know, which is brilliant.
It's a good way to describe us, right?
Yeah, definitely. So then, and I was performing a UK tour of Othello around that time, 2004, I think it was. And we played here, this venue. Okay. And it's the first time I met Rob, and and his wife Janine Gillian, who's co-founded the place, and amazing people, both of them, just generally had this lovely kind of just life, you know what I mean, and kind of really took me under their wing, and Rob mentored me as an actor director, and then a couple of years down the line he said, I always wanted to start my own professional theatre company, I'm busy doing other stuff as a vicar, how do you feel about leading that? I said jumped right in, and we birthed into Mission Theatre.
That's great stuff, man. Like, and what, well, listen, I think all paths lead to where they need to lead, you know, when they do, but you know, how wonderful an opportunity kind of gets presents itself. And it was the right time for you? Was it like, did you just kind of go, yeah? Was there any...
Well, listen, I'll be honest with you, mate. I didn't really know what that even meant.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I was an actor, you know, being an artistic director. I mean, what was that? How was I going to even go about that? So, as far as timing goes, I mean, what is the right time for anything? Yeah. I stepped out in faith, you know, and my faith had grown by that time as well. So Rob had really kind of nurtured me in faith as well. And he had this wonderful saying that God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. And I said, all right, I'm going to step out. And you learn a lot of stuff, you know, on your feet and being practical and doing this stuff. And I had a passion and a love for the arts because it transformed my life. So I was always going to, you know, be ready to kind of take this by the horns and see where it goes.
Yeah, excellent. And when I came in today, I saw there was a wall, and on the walls, like the cohorts, and so tell me who those guys are, because it was fascinating coming in. And I loved just like I love seeing the range of people on that wall, younger, you know, black and white, and you know, wearing Muslim, you know, garb and not wearing Muslim, you know, I just like, that's a wall that every theater should literally kind of, you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, so we work with young people from all over London. So in 2008, I set up Intermission Youth Theatre. So before that, it was a professional theatre company. And I did that because I wanted to work with youth and young people that may be going through a difficult time in life, because that's how I was as a kid. And, you know, if I had something, an intervention that was meaningful and engaged me in a way that would really kind of connect with me, then maybe I'd have made different choices. So I said, all right, let me set this up for these youngsters. And, yeah, so we worked with kids from all over London, Hackney, Woolwich, Peckham, deprived areas. No, you know, we're not exclusive in terms of religion or anything like that. We're not a religious organisation by any means. You know, it's about being there for young people, supporting them on their journey, and just having a place where they can come and feel, you know, not judged, feel safe, feel confident, and develop their creative gifts or whatever gifts they have, you know, but just giving them the confidence to go out into that world and to really, to be them, and you know.
And has it grown? Like, is it like word of mouth? Because
yeah, so 2008.
Yeah, when we first started. Yeah, 10 years.
10 years. Yeah, 2008. I sat downstairs, looking at the door, seeing who would turn up. Because you know, I said I wanted to start this company, and it was like, yeah, right. But where are you going to get these youngsters from? Four came through the door on the first day, and you know, we went downstairs, and like I said, I was an actor, so and so I just kind of did games and stuff as that I did when I was touring and in rehearsal rooms, and they loved it. We were laughing. And that's what it's about, you know, just having that kind of liberation, freedom, just to kind of leave things behind and just be in the moment and appreciate that moment. And I said, okay, I need to keep doing this. We just need to be consistent with this. And so I was there every Saturday, and the four turned into eight turned into 12 in the first year. And then I said, this needs to culminate in something, because I'll lose them. I said, all right, what can I do? And, you know, as an actor, I mean, I got into it through an unusual way in terms of the arts and the industry. And I did a lot of work with Shakespeare, you know, that text. So I said, all right, let me do Shakespeare with them. But, you know, what a mistake. Do you know what I mean? I said, all right, we're going to do some Shakespeare. They're like, Shakespeare, get out of here. Booted out the door, everything. So I had to run after them and say, no, you know. But then I thought to myself, well, it worked for me somehow.
Yeah.
So I need to find a way to make it work for these youngsters, because I knew the benefits of doing that work. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It really opened up the literature to a different class and society of people, you know, a network of people. So there's benefits, you know, and it taught me about life and taught me about myself as well as a person. So I said, all right, what can I do? So I just said, language is something that I think young people struggle with when it comes to Shakespeare, because it's 400 years old, it's quite dense, you know, it's not easy to get to grips with. So I said, let's remove the language, and I just started looking at the themes and the issues. And I was looking at Shakespeare's Caesar, because for me, I always think that's the ultimate knife crime. You know, they stab him to death.
Yeah, of course.
You know, that conspiratory element of it. And so we were kind of just creating characters around this. They didn't know it was Shakespeare.
Yeah.
And then a few weeks later, I said, listen, we're going to look at a play from Shakespeare called Julius Caesar. And again, Dow, man, what are you doing? We said, we don't want to do Shakespeare. I said, but you've been looking at it for like a few weeks. Mm. What do you mean? I said, well, these characters that you created, these situations, it's what Shakespeare did in Caesar.
Yeah.
And what are you talking about? So, you know, we read a little scene from it, and they're in, because they're invested already, because these characters are real to them now.
Yeah.
You know, these places, these situations, these predicaments, it's theirs. So, and then it got to a point where they were asking me, when we're doing stuff around our you know, our characters that we've created, well, Dee, what did Shakespeare do then? What was his interpretation of that? And then we'll go back to the text, but it's them asking for it rather than me.
They've got to find a way in. Anyone's got to find a way in.
Yeah, yeah, you know? Anybody, yeah.
I think with, especially with Shakespeare, again, it strikes fear into the heart of any kind of student or, you know, even. You know, I did English literature here at university and studied Shakespeare for 2 years, and I was like, oh, man.
Yeah.
And I did it because I wanted to, we don't do it in high school in America, really dive in, and I was like, you know, let's get in there.
Yeah.
But it's scary, and then you kind of realize, well, once you're in, you're in.
Once you're in, there's no turning back. You know what I mean?
It's
brilliant. You see the youngsters over time, when they get it, like, oh, my gosh, this guy's serious. This guy is just sick. The wordplay there. And it's similar to what they listen to in terms of music and the rhythm and how they speak and that. There's, you know, we're much closer to his work. And when I say we, I'm talking about, you know, the common people.
Yeah, yeah. For want of a better word. Well, he wrote for the commoners. Shakespeare didn't write for the elite. He may have been an entertainer with the court, you know, and been commissioned. But, like, no, he wrote for the common man, you know. I think that's what we should be letting everyone know.
Yeah.
Kind of. So the shows, your first one was Caesar, you're saying?
That was our first one,
And then what have you kind of worked on since? And then kind of lead up, if you will, with what you guys are doing this summer.
So because it worked so well, 2008, doing that, in, you know, that adaptation of Caesar, we kind of just did it every year. I said, all right, let's look at a different play each year. And what did happen is that the work that they invested in terms of their own characters, you know, I went away and thought, well, it'd be a shame to lose that because, you know, this is theirs, this is their creation. So I went away and just was at home one day and I said, let me see what happens if I put these two worlds together and merge Shakespeare with their contemporary, you know, speak. And it was just this new fusion and it just blended brilliantly. I was reading it thinking, oh, my gosh, this is, do you know what I mean? This just feels wicked.
Yeah.
And we've kind of continued in that vein ever since. So we've done A Midsummer Night's Dream, which we called The Playground, which was about substance abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And we've done we haven't done Hamlet yet.
Yet.
I'm going to say, tell you why Hamlet came into my head later. But yes, yeah, so we've done The Midsummer Night's Dream, we've done Taming of the Shrew, we've done Macbeth, Julius Caesar, I've said, we've done Romeo and Juliet. And this year, and 2012, we piloted The Ring of Envy, which was our Othello. And that was amazing. And that was a play that's quite close to my heart because it was my first introduction to Shakespeare, really. And so I stayed away from it for a long time because I just thought, I don't want to touch it. Too precious. And people keep saying, why do you do Othello? Anyway, we finally did it and it was brilliant. And we're doing it now.
Doing it again.
It's a different production, but
And what, what have you done? So you've taken, you're putting them into contemporary settings, and where is Othello set now?
Othello's set in London, 2019, and it's in a boxing gym.
Nice.
Kind of, on the estate.
People are fighting, man.
People are fighting. And every time we kind of look at a piece, I aim for it, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's about paralleling the lives of these characters today, and just asking the cast, you know, who is Othello? You know what I mean? And when we was talking about, when we was having those conversations, things came up like, you know, like like a soldier, you know, like a, you know, maybe that one that's kind of gone, done the fighting in Afghan or you know, Iraq or whatever. And then a wrestler came up into the conversation, you know, and people are improving that. Then a boxer came in, and that was immediately for me. I was like, bloody hell, that makes a lot of sense. Do you know what I mean? Just in terms of those two lives, you know, very isolated, very alone. You know, this kind of combative sport.
Who's in your corner?
Who's in your corner? Yeah. You know, who's kind of feeding you? Who's, you know, and all that, and and also visually, I just think it's an amazing thing to kind of
boxing is theater, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. You know, you got the seats ringside and whatever, and you come into that space and the build up with the fighters and their backstory, and you're just waiting to see what story kind of happens. You know, so yeah, it's definitely theater. So
awesome, awesome. And so when that opens.
On the 25th of June.
25th of June. Yeah. Press night 28th or something like that?
28th, yeah, that's right.
Press night 28th. And then how many weeks?
We're doing 3 weeks.
And that's at the Omnibus in...
That's at the Omnibus Theatre, yeah. So it's in Clapham, and it opens on the 25th, plays Tuesday to Sunday.
Okay. Oh, good, so it's a Sunday show. Yeah. Sunday show, man. There's not many of those in town.
Hey, listen, I'll tell you what. There was more Sunday performances for theatre, I'd be on it like a shot. I think it's a good.
Well, we do that. That's what we do in America. You know?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Most theatres go on Sunday. You know, and you have your Monday off.
Okay. Yeah, it's cool. I think it's a good idea.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Well, that's great, and I want to get the best in for people. So, you know, and this is a show for everyone. This is a show for young and old, who are new to Shakespeare or Shakespeare scholars, you know, have seen everyone. Like, you know, what can they expect when they come and see this, and what can they leave with?
I think they if they come with expectations, then they're going to be in for a real shock, man. You know, so I would say leave your expectations at home, man, and just come and know that you're in for a roller coaster in terms of challenging perceptions, challenging stereotypes, challenging the tradition. Do you know what I mean? And I think we're doing this more as a society now, and in terms of the arts and what we're, you know, daring to kind of to do. This production, listen, it's crazy. You know, we're taking something that's 400 years old, we're slamming it into 2019.
Yeah.
It's unapologetic. Do you know what I mean? A lot of people revere Shakespeare and hold it up on a pedestal. I love Shakespeare, but listen, it's a piece of art which everybody can use and interpret in their own way. And I think this production does is does that very well. It takes the lives of the cast, of myself, do you know what I mean? And we pull it on the page, and then we find a way to kind of make the story come alive. It's a new sound. You know, you're going to hear Shakespeare in a way that you've never heard it before. I can promise you that. That's a guaranteed, you know. And it for me personally, it makes Shakespeare breathe in today's heartbeat. Do you know what I mean? Like, we can hear that iambic pentameter just kind of pounding away in a way which kind of resonates with London life in terms of diversity, in terms of culture, in terms of race, in terms of all these things. So, I think...
I'm excited for you, Derek, man. I'm excited for you, man.
Cheers, man. Yeah.
Well, excellent. Well, I'll put all this stuff on the show notes. You know, people can find out where to get tickets on the show notes and everything else. And and we'll get them there, man. Yeah, I think everyone needs to come and see it. It's always great to find a new voice in Shakespeare. And, like, in these kids that are coming in, young guys and girls, say, your guys being everybody, you know, being able to hear a new voice is...
Absolutely.
So important.
Yeah. And it's like you're saying as well, you know, they come in, a lot of them come in, or my cast particularly, great actors, you know what I mean, but haven't had that kind of schooling that maybe other people have had in classical texts, particularly Shakespeare. So there's something fresh about that because the baggage isn't there. Do you know what I mean? So they're free and open to really kind of explore this text in a way they see it and hear it. Like almost that, you know, that just that gut response, that gut reaction to what Shakespeare's put on the page and how it really kind of resonates with them and their lives.
Yeah.
You know, which brings something different, I think. Something new. Something
real.
Authentic.
Something real.
Yeah.
Cool. Excellent, man. Thank you so much,
man.
For cool.
Sitting down and talking to me. I hope we got this good.
Darren Raymond, Artistic Director of Intermission Youth Theatre, speaking to me there at St. Xavier's in Knightsbridge. Now, before I go, just a few housekeeping notes. If you're a theatre professional, head on over to curtaincallonline.com and sign up for your free profile page. All you have to do is create an account with an email address and make up a cool password. Away you go. Follow us on all the socials, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at Curtain Call, and you can follow me at John Schwab, J-O-H-N-S-C-H-W-A-B. We'd love to hear from you if you have any suggestions or feedback for the podcast. Get in touch with us via any of the social media platforms I just mentioned, or write to me at john@curtaincallonline.com. And it just leaves me to say a huge thank you to Darren Raymond and his team at Intermission Youth Theatre at St. Saviour's Church in Knightsbridge, London. Get over there. I'm going to put their show details of Othello Remixed into the show notes. And also thanks to James Marino from Broadway Radio and BroadwayStars.com, who bought us lunch yesterday. That was Matt and I. We're in New York on a visit. And thanks, James. Really appreciate it. Thanks for listening to the Curtain Call Theatre podcast, and I will catch you all next week. Bye.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.